Amen. You may be seated. Peace be with you, Hope College. You're looking good. You're looking good. I can tell you've gotten a little extra rest, a little refreshment. Are you ready to get back at it? Okay. Now, the answer was yes on that one. Yes. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for the homework and the classes. I want to advertise and invite you, any women in the house, woo! Any women, this one is for you. Sorry, gentlemen. Don't mean to exclude you, but you are excluded from this one. So women, we have a special night coming up this Saturday, 5 to 8. We're calling it Women's Night Out. And some Women's Night Out alumni have planned an evening for you, and it's going to include meeting other sisters in Christ, food, encouragement, and time at the beach, all for $5. So free transportation, a wonderful night. Please, please, if you are interested, sign up at Campus Ministries website. There's a sign up. It's open till Friday afternoon. The cost is $5. There's transportation. Meet at Keppel House at 4:30 to hop on a bus to the beach. We'll have you back here by 8 o'clock. It's a good time, so come on out, please, please. All right? All right. This morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you Pastor Kent Fry. We are wrapping up our series with our covenant partner churches. We have six churches that we are in partnership with, and one of them is Pastor Kent's church, which is Third Reformed. It's just right on Pine and 13th, 12th or so, and it's a wonderful church. And it is our prayer, it is our fervent prayer that you this year grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, you need a church. You need a church. So please come on out to Third or any of the other covenant partner churches and find the Lord there. So thank you, Kent, for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jennifer. So I have a text for you, first day back from fall break. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. You can take the Bible, phone out. And this is the word of the Lord. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and struggle because we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. So I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever heard a person on this campus describe another person, a student, faculty, or staff, as a godly person? Think about it for a moment. You think about John, the quarterback. What I really like about him is he throws a nice spiral that the receiver can run under. But most of all, what I really like about him is that he's godly. I don't think so. Or you think you're dating, you know, Megan. You say, well, she's witty, she's funny, she's thoughtful, she's unpredictable, but godly? Would you think about saying that about a person that you're dating? I would predict that we don't use the word godly very much on the Hope College campus, especially to describe another student. And the reason is because it seems like the word godly is to be overly pious. H.L. Mencken once described the Puritans as people who believed somewhere that someone was having a good time. That's to be overly pious or godly. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to his younger colleague Timothy, and he mentions the word godly or godliness twice. Train yourself in godliness. Godliness is valuable in every way. Paul is nearing the end of his life, and he wants to make sure that a new colleague, a new generation,
can be raised up to live the Christian faith. And in fact, the word godliness is probably the most important word in this letter. It is the character and description of a person who follows Jesus. The Greek word is actually eusebia, which can be translated not only godly, but devout and piety, or as the Message puts it, exercise daily in God. Now, sometimes we have people with proper names that come from the Greek, like Sophia, a girl's name that means to be wise, or Timothy, a male name that means in honor of God. But have you ever heard a person who is named Eusebia, godliness? I'll wager a bet that there isn't a staff or a professor or a student that is named Eusebia on this campus. In the 3rd century AD, there was a historian by the name of Eusebia, but that name has not been popular since about the 3rd century. In fact, we have a girl in our church, a woman in our church, gave birth to a baby. They haven't named the female baby yet. I know what I'll do. I'll go down to the hospital today and say, I got a perfect name for your daughter. Name her Eusebia. I don't think so. But maybe something is missing in contemporary Christianity, something big. We're missing Eusebia. We're missing godliness. What am I talking about? The Roman Catholic Church is going through a priest abuse scandal, but this problem doesn't just affect the Roman Catholic Church. It also affects my Protestant tradition as well. This is one of our great evangelical congregations. We have students on this campus from that congregation, Willow Creek, that has trained pastors and has provided leadership to the evangelical church. But just recently, the lead pastor had to resign because of a misuse of power around issues of sexuality. Henry Eidema, writing in the Holland Sentinel, asked the question, is the church in moral decline? Not only does he raise the question of clergy sexual abuse, but churches uncritically cozying up to politicians and peddling a prosperity gospel. And he says that the church used to speak with moral authority, but in some ways no longer. And the reason is because we're not practicing Eusebia, godliness. This letter is addressed to us, even more so than maybe the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 67 AD. This campus is to be about the business of developing Christian leaders. And that has to begin right now. When you attend chapel, there are people on this campus that maybe don't, but they're watching what you do. How do you relate in the classroom? What do you do with the opposite sex? How do you conduct yourselves on weekends? We need to become Timothys, and I'm including in that the women students. In other words, we got to walk the talk. We need Eusebia. We need godliness. Now, I don't mean to suggest that I'm perfect. I can remember a church that I served in Grand Rapids for many years. It was growing rapidly. I was having trouble keeping all the plates spinning. And I did a funeral. And about 6 weeks later, I caught myself going out to visit the person that I had done a funeral for. You know what I realized? I was lacking in godliness. I was spinning too many plates, and the wheels were about ready to come off the wagon. It can happen to the maturest and most sincere Christian leaders. Godliness is not a matter of putting on pious airs. It's a matter of honesty before God. It's interesting that a letter that speaks about godliness is also a letter that speaks about God's love and God's mercy. And it's in our text, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. The reason we're here on a Wednesday morning in the middle of the week is because we all need God's grace and God's mercy. But godliness is also horizontal. It's working out in trusting and caring relationships where we can share with a brother or sister in Christ. On Saturday mornings, I sometimes go bike riding. We call it the 12th Street Chain Gang. And we go out 25 or 30 miles. And I kind of joke because after about 20 miles, we stop for coffee. You know, we guys, we got to ride 20 miles in order to talk about our feelings with each other. I admire women. They don't need to ride 20 miles. They just go out for coffee and talk. But on those Saturday mornings, the 12th Street Chain Gang are able to open up and talk about themselves. And there's the development of godliness. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that we would recapture this word, that we would leave this chapel this morning, and we could actually say a compliment to a fellow student, say, "You're a godly person." And that can be received and cherished and honored. Let's pray. Lord, this is a word, Eusebia, godliness, that maybe we run away from. We don't use it. Forgive us. Help us to begin to deploy this word and begin to live it as a disciple of Jesus. In your name, amen. Go in peace.